to the program. I'm Lori Rubenson. Nixon 4, having fun talking sports with you here on The Fan in New York City, the greatest city in the world. Are we on the verge of a championship, of a Knicks title? The phone lines are open, 888-808-1019. Go ahead and use it or hit me up on Twitter at L Rubenson, W-F-A-N, on X on Twitter. Comments read there. Phone calls open to get you on the air. And I'll tell you what, if you are a Yankee fan and you want to call in, I know you do, because Cam, you want to talk Cam? Cam Schlittler looked like Cam Schlittler today after a couple starts that maybe weren't up to his standards. Fastball velo back up. You want to talk Cody Bellinger doing what the Yankees need of him while Aaron Judge is out? You can talk about that. And if you are the type of fan who wants to complain, well, there's always Anthony Volpe. So, Yankee fans, 888-808-1019. Mets fans, right now, it's the bottom of the ninth inning. Your team is up 7-2, two outs, and out there in San Diego. And today has to be referred to as the Carson Benge game. Carson Benge going 5 for 5, the rookie, 5 for 5, including a home run and a triple. You want to talk about that, Mets fans, and have some fun? 888-808-1019. And of course, if you want to complain, plenty to complain about as well. But we start with your New York Knicks and Knicks fans. First of all, a couple guests for you, but they're not coming until I'm on for 5 hours. We have 5 hours to do this. We've got a guest at 10 p.m. and a guest at 11 p.m. At 10 p.m., John Krasinski from The Athletic, he covers the Timberwolves and the NBA. He covered Karl-Anthony Towns for the first 9 years of his career. And I want to hear some Cat stories. I also want to talk about the evolution of Cat's game. I want to talk about the narratives around Cat, a player who earlier, certainly in his career, and by earlier I mean, I don't know, even the beginning of the season, called soft. That's sort of what you heard about Cat. The hosts, post-game hosts, Shaq, Charles Barkley, saying he's too nice, needs to be tougher. How is the narrative changed on Karl-Anthony Towns? And right now, is Cat the leader in the clubhouse at the moment for MVP of this NBA Finals series? If the Knicks win, which I think we feel pretty good about that, up 2-0, you can tell me. You want to knock on something? I'm wearing a Knicks hat. I can knock on that. But I know we're afraid of jinxing things. But game two was so important. You know this. You know the stat. You know the numbers. You know the figures. No team has ever come back from losing the first two games at home, going down 0-2 at home to win a series. Has happened a couple times. Both of those teams lost. Now, what you'll hear from these Knicks, and we will play you audio of all kinds of fun stuff all throughout the night, but 0-0. The 0-0 mantra from these Knicks. And it is driven by the Nova Knicks. You just hear, anytime anybody asks them about the series, about anything, about the two things you hear the word desperation. We have to be the more desperate team. And you hear, anytime they get asked about this game, that game, next game, the series, what might happen if they win, how do they look at this, you know, historically, anything to look ahead. You hear from the Nova Knicks, it's 0-0. That's how they look at it. Right now, we haven't won anything. It's 0-0. And there is this maniacal focus to not take anything for granted. So, ask yourself this. I know You want to bang on, you know, everything. You know, you're worried about everything. You want to find something superstitious and whatever it is. I know you're worried. You don't want to jinx. You don't want to look ahead. But newsflash, we as fans, we as media, we don't control those things. The players do. The coaches do. And they're not looking ahead. We can look ahead and we can say this of this team. Or I'll ask you this question. If there was going to be a team to defy odds and come back from 0-2 to win a series, to win 4 out of the next 5 games, do you think it could be this young Spurs team? And if there was going to be a team to collapse after an 0-2 lead, do you think it would be this focused, veteran, mature, experienced, confident, but respectful and not at all cocky Knicks team? To me, these have been two really close games. Ups and downs, runs going back and forth, and I know it was 10 points with the first game, but let's face it, if you watched it, you know it was a really close game until the end, until it was Brunson time. And game two, a one-point game that so easily could have gone either way. The officials tried to gift that game to the Spurs, and the Knicks were not having it. But part of, you can say it's luck and a play here or there, but if I said to you before this series, what's an advantage the Knicks have over the Spurs, we all would have said, we feel confident about this Knicks team winning close games. Confident about them winning close games. Why? They've done it. And they have the clutch player of last year's clutch player of the league, Mr. Clutch, Captain Clutch, Jalen Brunson. Knicks know what they are going to do and how they're going to operate at the end of the game. And a young Spurs team with Victor Wembanyama, who is and will be the face of the league and all that good stuff, superstar. But this young Spurs team does not yet know. There is not muscle memory of how they're going to finish a game. They don't know yet. They're making it up. It could be this, it could be that. With the Knicks, there's no uncertainty. It's Brunson time. They all know that. And so, two close games. But game two, I don't know about you, I was going crazy. I had all kinds of superstitious stuff going on where if I had the volume on the TV a certain way and they had a run, that's good. If it was bad, then I have to change the volume. And I don't know if you have a thing you do, but I get locked in on that as if the volume on my TV and if I'm muting it or not muting it or how I'm doing stuff, as if that somehow is going to have an impact on the game. It's preposterous. It's absurd. I know it. I still do it. Can't help myself. Have superstition when I'm watching as if it has some bearing on the game. But when it comes down to it, that end of game scenario, how all of that transpired, that was the series right there. And now, yeah, Knicks have to take care of business. But if ever there was a business-like team, it is this Knicks team. And then the questions become, all the Becky Hammon nonsense, and we'll get into that. If they win the whole thing and Kat is MVP, is Becky Hammon going to still say, well, I told you so. The best player in that series was actually a big man, not a guard, even if Jalen Brunson has been the engine of this Knicks team all season long. And what stories are we watching change right now in front of us? Perception. Now, we always talk about at the end of a title run, when I'm on air, Super Bowl Sunday night, or when I'm on air, the, you know, the end, a World Series, whatever it is, when a title is clinched, I talk about legacy, whose legacy is changing. And we're seeing legacy and narrative and stories change right in front of us. Karl Anthony Towns thought of as being a soft player. Mikal Bridges, that trade to the Knicks, 5 first-round draft picks, oh, a bust. And when you watch Bridges, I think what you miss, what I missed for a while, you can watch him as somebody who is thin, and there can be a silliness at times with him, the handshakes with all his teammates or whatever. You can miss the toughness of this player. And boy, if you saw that interview with him at the end of game two, after game two, the Knicks are up 2-0. You would think he would have been smiling a little happy, or maybe even just serious. He was pissed off. He was angry. He was ferocious. Mikal Bridges was demonic after game two. He finished his interview, and he was like angrily cursing as he's walking off the court. This is a player in Bridges who knows what it's like. He was up to zip with the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals, and that team lost. Now, they were not a team that wasn't a situation where the home team lost 2 games. But his team was up 2-0 and lost. And you can tell he is just locked in and ferocious. And I think I've also been with Kat and with Jalen Brunson, I've also just been fascinated watching the evolution of that relationship. And yes, we talk about Karl Anthony Towns and the unlock in the Atlanta series of the offense flowing through him at times, and this Cat-centric offense, and how that has been such a key to this Knicks run, the flexibility and all of that in unlocking this player. And that's all true, absolutely. But I think it also plays into his personality. When Charles and Shaq say he's too nice and they want him to be meaner, tougher, all of that, if you watch Cat and his demeanor, on some level, he comes across to me as, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, because a lot of us in the world are like this, to achieve and succeed, but he comes across as somebody who is a people pleaser, somebody who wants to make other people happy and cares what other people think. And he can say he's just comfortable and, you know, accept me for who I am and all of that, and I've heard him say that, but I think that being a facilitator plays into that sense of his personality, helping his teammates succeed. I think he loves that. And being a facilitator on offense, I think, and that role, loves that. I think that taps into him. But the other part of it is when you watch the dynamic on this Knicks team and watch the subtle cues, which players stand near each other, how they seem and come across on the podium together in post-game remarks, in media sessions, in huddles, in after-the-game conversations, all of this. Watch the dynamic of the players and the interactions. And clearly, Kat, beloved, you know, really well-liked by all his teammates, but the dynamic between Jalen and Kat, if I said Kat is that person who wants approval, wants to be liked, the approval and the guy he wants most, I think, to be liked, it's Jalen Brunson. Brunson is the alpha on this team. He's the leader. This is his team. No doubt about it. He might be small. He might not be the most athletic, but he has been the leader and the alpha at every level, whether that was high school, college, pros. He oozes confidence. And others want to be that, you know, friend of Jalen's. clearly that's Josh Hart and his buddies and the Nova Knicks and all of that. But if you watch the body language and you watch now Kat and Jalen around each other, I think there is a greater comfort there of Kat feeling a part of that, a part of Jalen's world, accepted in a different way. And I think that's empowering him. I think we see it now with Kat's leadership in the huddles, empowered to talk in the huddles, empowered to lead in the huddles and turn to his teammates and say, don't worry about the offense, it'll come, lock in on defense, all this stuff, the vocal Cat, the confident Cat that we're seeing, all of this is happening as a result of, sure, it's the offense flowing through him, but I also think there's a different level of connection to Jalen Brunson we're seeing evolve, appreciation of these teammates. So all of that is crucial to their success. And then the other piece, and then I'm heading to your calls, but the other piece I wanted to hit on is just the job that Mike Brown as a head coach is doing and an appreciation for that. I was one of the people who I absolutely first guessed on board early, right away, with the need to make a change at head coach. When Leon Rose, James Dolan decide to move on from Tom Thibodeau, there were a lot of you all who held out. Some of you all are still upset about it. But it was clear to me, for the smart strategic reasons, that Tibbs was the Buck Showalter. Tibbs was the culture changer. Tom Thibodeau should never have to buy a cup of coffee or drink a beer in this town ever. We all should be indebted to that man for what he did to help Leon Rose turn the New York Knicks from an absolute laughingstock into a team that's two games away from the NBA title. That foundation, he built the culture, the foundation, the competence that has to come first. And that was Tom Thibodeau. But what we see from Mike Brown and what was needed to get the team to the promised land, to get the team to a title, two games from a title, it hasn't happened yet, but to get to the verge, to get to the NBA Finals with a team that has a chance to win, that looks like a better team than the San Antonio Spurs so far. Mike Brown has qualities that make him perfect for this job. And while I did think a change should be made, I will admit, was Mike Brown my first choice? No. I was looking around and there were hot names and interesting names and younger choices and, you know, hot coaching candidates and all kinds of people that I thought might have been a better choice, as you saw the names that were bandied about. And I don't know that Mike Brown was Leon Rose's first choice, as he was asking around, can he pry Jason Kidd away? Can he pry this coach, that coach, you know, Eric Spoelstra available? Is this one available? Is that one available? All of it. And yet, credit to Leon Rose for understanding that Mike Brown was the perfect coach for this Knicks team and this job. The flexibility, the adaptability, the creativity to use different offenses, to be able to use players in different ways, to the communication skills, both with the media as well as with his players, with his coaches, and openness to ideas, playing a deeper bench all season long to instill confidence, but also to know what different combinations can look like with players in different roles. But also with all those positives and things, and accountability behind closed doors, the players certainly talk about. I mean, it sounds like he gets angry and raises his voice. You can ask Jordan Clarkson that there is an accountability. Clarkson fell out of the rotation until he started to play better defense and make defense an absolute focus of his game. If you want to just be an instant offense player, he wasn't finding the floor. No minutes there. And so accountability. And then finally, ask yourself this. How many coaches could Leon Rose have hired for the Knicks that would have been able to step in to a job with the expectations and the pressure that this one had? You're replacing Tom Thibodeau, who just took a team, an excellent coach, respected, liked by his players, certainly loved by his superstar, Jalen Brunson. You're replacing that coach who just took a team to the Eastern Conference Finals. And the expectation is that you have to get past that for this hire to have made sense or been right or successful or validated. You walk into a job where the owner is going to say on the radio here on our station with Craig Carton, with Craig and C-Mac, that his expectation was that this Knicks team is going to at least get to the NBA Finals, if not win a championship. So you're walking into a job with that expectation in the biggest city, in the biggest city, you know, in our country, the media capital of the world, the basketball mecca, with a fan base starved for a title in this town and a basketball title in this town that hasn't been seen in 53 years. And this unifying, beloved team that had been an embarrassment for so long that finally Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau restore some pride and competence. But you, Mike Brown, walk into an expectation that it's essentially championship or bust. And that's not too big for your shoulders. How many coaches can handle that? What kind of level of experience? Mike Brown coached LeBron James in Cleveland, coached Kobe in L.A., was an assistant with the Spurs under Greg Popovich, was an assistant with the Warriors under Steve Kerr, was undaunted by the expectations, and it's time to say, was the rare person, the right person, the rare person for this job. And two games away, and then this town, the celebration, I don't even know what we'll do, but a level of love, a love affair with this beautiful basketball team that Mike Brown has gotten to find a level, the sum better than the parts, where the other team has Wemby, all 7'5" of him, but the Knicks are a team led by Brunson, led by Cat, led by OG, led by Bridges, led by Josh Hart, but a team that seems in this year to be the better team. And it's their time. 888 808-1019. We've got a couple of Joshes, Brandon, a Bob, and a Robbie. We will get to all your calls. Quick break, right back.